وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، وبعد، اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم ارزقنا الإخلاص لك في القول والعمل، وتقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. Okay, so in Surah Al-Qamar, I think we covered the story of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, and we said I think we took some lessons. So some things are coming to mind now, and let's mention them. We said Nuh stayed among his people for 950 years, inviting them, and that shows the patience. The patience, right? Patience. And that he continued to invite his people despite the negative response. And he was patient with them. So apparently there was no apparent results, right? There was no apparent results at the beginning. Very minimal results. So compared to the effort, the results were minimal. The results were minimal. But that's only in the calculation of worldly matters. Because with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the calculation is different. The calculation is different. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith, يَأْتِي النَّبِيُّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَمَعَهُ الرَّهْطُ وَيَأْتِي النَّبِيُّ وَمَعَهُ الثَّلَاثَةُ وَيَأْتِي النَّبِيُّ وَلَيْسَ مَعَهُ أَحَدٌ. On the day of judgment, people will come behind their prophets, like grouped with their prophets and messengers, the believers. The Muslims will gather around the Prophet ﷺ near Al-Hawd, right? Then the believers will rally or sort of gather behind their prophets and messengers. So some of the prophets will have about 10 people, 10 followers. Some prophets, messengers will have 3. Some will have no followers whatsoever. Prophet Yunus alayhi salam, Allah says, وَذَنُّونِ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا فَظَنَّ أَلَّن نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ. Okay, the Nun, Yunus alayhi salam, because his people, he invited them for some time, for an extended period of time, and mostly he received a negative response. So he was angry with their response. And eventually, what did he do? He left. A punishment was promised by Allah, but Allah did not command him to leave, but he left. He left with anger. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him go through the trial of being swallowed by the whale. By the way, just to make sure that, okay, a common misunderding. This is not the verse we're talking about, but وَذَنُّونِ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا فَظَنَّ أَلَّن نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ. لَن نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ. What does it mean? Because there's a lot of mistakes around this, especially with what's لن نقدر عليه.
So the Prophet Yunus thought that he wouldn't be able to, surround him with our fate, with what we can do to him.
Okay, can you say it again so I can repeat it? But again, it's not my statement.
So Prophet Yunus thought.
So that our fate wouldn't be able to reach him.
We won't be able to reach him.
Is this a correct statement? Is there inability with Allah? So what's the meaning? Those who speak Arabic. فَظَنَّ أَلَّن نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ. Don't we read this verse? So what do you understand of it? As a child, I would read this and say, Astaghfirullah. What is this? Like the meaning that jumps to my mind, right? فَظَنَّ أَلَّن نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ. He thought what? No one's going to help us? نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ. نَقْدِرَ here is not we are able to. قدرة here is not from قدرة, it's from تقدير. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ. Your Lord expands provision to some people and limits it for others, right? فَظَنَّ أَلَّا نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ, meaning he thought that we would not, you know, keep it tight for him or blame him for that. In this sense, limit his choices. So he thought it's open for him. Okay, so let's correct this. This is a tangent, but it's important. Okay, so it's a matter of patience. So 950 years and he's inviting his people and there's no result. Why? Because results are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's important. That's the meaning of tawakkul, by the way. That's the some people say, okay, you're not results oriented. No. This whole concept of result oriented is designed by people who don't believe in Allah. They think they are the ones who have the say. Muslims humble themselves. Allah gave us means and we can exert them and we can do our best. We can do our best with the right intention. With the right intention. Because if you have the wrong intention about something even good, it's going to sabotage you. It's going to affect iman in your heart. It's going to weaken you. It's going to take you away from Allah. So somebody says, I'm going to put my head to it. I'm going to get it done. So who's the Lord of the worlds here? You are making a claim to lordship here. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. Don't say, I'm going to do something tomorrow. I'm going to get something done tomorrow. You have to say what? Inshallah. Things are in the hands of Allah. Allah has the final say. I can try. And I can do all I have. Right? But the final results are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the belief of us. This is why some of those people who are so obsessed with this, you know, success mindset, they call it, right? They actually, a lot of these training sessions, they give you a lie. They give you a lie that you have some divine traits. If you can dream it, you can achieve it. That's actually an infringement of the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we don't see the victims to these kind of industries, by the way. We just get the success stories, so we have a bias. We think, oh, people who get into this, they make it. Because you hear about the 1% who make it, which is a normal rate of success in any area, by the way, with any mindset. Even people do stumble on success by accident. 1% stumble into success even by accident. But you don't hear about the 99% who get burnt out and they are lost and they are ashamed of their story because they are told to believe that there is something wrong in them. I did not commit enough. This industry could be very dangerous, by the way. People say, oh, self-help is just something. I mean, it's some tools, practical tools, you can use it. Self-help has the good and has the evil, but it's all mixed up. Like many of the sciences that are produced by non-Muslims, especially that have to do with lifestyle, that have to do with human behavior, human society, it's a mix. It's a mix, and not everyone can sift through it. So again, the results are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if in the success world, if you say, I can do what I can, but I leave things to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're going to look down upon you. You're not committed to success. You're not motivated enough. So you should read maybe 101 reasons or ways to motivate yourself. Or buy this book and that book until you burn out. These are very dangerous ones. And obviously, you know, we Muslims sometimes do this. I myself am guilty of this at some stage. But hopefully I'm, you know, making amends now when I talk about. You know, one of the most, the best sellers of all books of success. It's about 100 years old book. It's just short of 100 years old book. Huh? No. It's before that. Napoleon Hill's book. The bestseller of all time. Think and Grow Rich. Who has read that book? Or who knows about this book? Think and Grow Rich. It's the classic that everyone should read. I remember when I was reading it, I felt I was getting into a new religion. Wallahi, because once you get into the later part of the book, what do you have to do? You have to do daily affirmations. You have to write the check, right? Who read the book? Who remembers? You have to write the number that you want. The check that, like, in 3 years, I'm going to get this check, this number. It has to be like 3 million. Obviously, 3 million at the time was like you're talking about, what, 300 million now. And like a crazy number. And once you wake up in the morning, you have to actually repeat that in the morning, and you have to see yourself receiving. You have to literally like lose yourself in the scene where you receive this. And you have to do that day and night. Day and night. And for a long period of time. It's this kind of, I forgot the word for it, but it's like extreme commitment to it. What is this? Honestly, what is this? This is worship. That's what you're supposed to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not the check that you expect to get, right? And something else just to show you how messed up these things, that success literature, right? Jazakallah khair. A lot of the success literature, a lot of the, not all of them, but again, a lot of them are have a lot of secular atheist ideas, but a lot of them have shirk in them. Shirk, like blatant shirk. This, the same thing. Think and Grow Rich. Napoleon Hill himself, in the book, he talks about who? His mastermind group. Who read the book, guys? It's like I'm talking to myself. He talks about his mastermind group. And do you know who these are? Imaginary characters. He talks to them every day. He says, these are my consultants. Kidding you not. Wallahi, check the book out. This is the best-selling book of what? Self-help and money-making. Until now, people recommend it as the first reading. He says there is five, I think, either four or five imaginary characters that he sits with every day. Each one, he gives them a name, and they have a completely different character. And he tosses around ideas with them, and he says it helps me. He presents it as it works out like perspectives. But he says you have to characterize them, as in, like, get them as persons. Is that anything than dealing with Jinn? Come on, guys. Huh? Yeah.
It's called Outwitting the Devil.
Yeah.
It's basically Napoleon Hill interviewing this so-called devil.
Yeah, the mastermind group, right? Outsmarting the devil. Yes, yeah. So I remember when I was reading that, and I used to listen to the audiobook as well in my car, like, I was saying, man, that's crazy. Like, how can I be a Muslim and do this? I thought, you know, I don't want to be rich, Napoleon Hill. Sorry. Sorry, like, but I thought maybe there's some, and that's what's dangerous about these in this industry. I thought maybe I just don't understand the book. Maybe it's my fault. That's what they're so confident that they make you even doubt yourself. Yes, the more recent ones don't do it as blatantly, but I'm telling you, a lot of those training, like, I'm not your guru. Guru, I'm not your guru, right? It sort of, 6-7 years ago, it sort of became a trend. You know, the documentary about a very famous, I don't want to, again, create issues, famous self-help, the ultimate success guy, right, whatever he is. If you watch his training and segments of his training, it's absolute jinn sorcery stuff. Absolute jinn stuff. The way he makes people stand, the way he speaks to certain individuals, the way he looks them in the eyes, and what happens to them, that's typical. You see it in ruqya sessions. You see it in ruqya sessions. And we Muslims all think, oh, this is the West. They don't believe in this. Is just in our back home, in our backward countries. No, you don't know that. Actually, intelligence agencies deal with psychics. And you know what psychics do. So just to let you know that, you know, the world is not how it seems to be. So the thing is, we as humans, as believers, we put our trust in Allah. We know that Allah has the final say. And we can do, and that's a good thing, by the way, that's a recipe for good success. Because I can pursue something only if it's noble. only if it fits within my worship of Allah. Right? And I'm going to use it as a means, as a stepping stone to Allah. So it's not like, you know, either like you make yourself or break your back. No, I have no stakes to lose. As long as I secure myself on the path of Allah and I commit to it as much as possible, and I choose this path, I choose my success. It could be even your business success, but you do it for a good reason, not for a selfish reason. Not to be a self-made millionaire, not to be a success story, not to be better than your cousins, or not to become like this kind of social media sensation. If you do it for a good reason, right? Whether you succeed or you don't succeed, you're doing it for the sake of Allah. If Allah allows success, allows it to succeed, then this should humble you, and you should use it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you can refer the success to Allah, not to yourself. And if it does, if you don't make it, say, Alhamdulillah, Allah chose something better for me. You have nothing to lose. You are immune to being heartbroken. It's only when we start to worship, and this shows you that actually when you start to pursue worldly success, in this way you are worshipping the world. But we have the words in our time so, how can I say, watered down. We don't realize what we're doing. We call it success, it's worship of the dunya. Education, it's worship of these degrees and this lifestyle. And there are people who, if they don't succeed in their degree, their life is ruined. They literally, they lose their sanity. Nothing in the world should lead you to this state. That just tells you you are worshipping these things. And it's worship. We don't call it worship, but it takes all the boxes of worship. And the issue is not with the titles or the names. The issue is with the realities. So if you are obsessed with something that if you don't achieve it or if it's taken away from you, you become miserable, then you have to know that you got over-attached and you're bordering worship. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Ta'isa abdul dirham, Ta'isa abdul dinar, Ta'isa abdul qamisa. The Prophet ﷺ said, these people are miserable and destroyed and ruined. The ones who what? Worship the dinar, the dirham, the dollar. And al-qamisa, what's al-qamisa?
Shirt,
fine clothes, yes. Fine clothes, fine things of this life. Right? The Lamborghini, the Tesla that you want to buy, the mansion you're thinking about, the social media account with millions of likes and subscribers. Don't worship these things. Don't worship these things. If Allah puts them your way and you can put them to good use for the sake of Allah, and don't claim ownership over them. These are means that Allah allowed you so that you can put them to good use. That's how you should treat everything in this world. And with this, you become detached. Sometimes people say, oh, I'm so attached to things. How do I break that attachment? You don't need to break that attachment because you've given these a place in your heart that belongs only to Allah. So that's why you lost yourself in them. So you are punishing yourself. You're already like this kind, you're infringing on Allah's rights, and that's why the punishment comes. As we said, the sin, subhanAllah, it's Allah's wisdom and justice. The sin has its own punishment built in it. So the moment you engage with a sin, whether small or great, which starts to border shirk and kufr, the punishment is built in. You're already bringing the misery of that sin into your life. Okay, so the results are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what, how did Nuh survive 900 years doing this? How? He says, it's Allah's mission. I'm fulfilling Allah's mission. This is an agreement between me and Allah. I'm just going to fulfill my part. And whatever results Allah brings, خلاص ما على الرسول إلا البلاغ. The obligation upon the messenger is to convey the message. SubhanAllah, this frees you from this world. It frees you from this world. You don't become a slave to anything but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, when Allah wants something to happen, Allah, as was said, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ شَيْئًا هَيَّا أَسْبَابَهُ. This is something you have to understand about this world. When Allah wants something to happen, in the sense Allah wrote something to happen, Allah predestined something to happen, Allah is going to bring the mechanisms that will ensure its occurrence together. Sometimes things happen. Sometimes you try with something for years and it never happens. But sometimes even when you give up on it, all of a sudden things just like come together by themselves without any effort from you, and it like puzzles you. Like when I was chasing it, it wasn't happening. But now as I turn away from it or give up on it, all of a sudden things start to fall in place. Why? Allah is teaching you a lesson. It's not in your hands. It's in Allah's hands. And subhanAllah, the non-Muslims put it in a way, they put the statement in a way, but again, for them to remove Allah from the equation. I think this is a Hindu statement or an old Indian statement, if I'm not mistaken. There were the letters of Patanjali in the Indian tradition, which is like a philosopher, Indian philosopher, more than 2,000 years ago. They say, there's nothing more powerful than a word whose time has come. Right, but again, that's their secular way of talking about. Because when Allah wants something to happen, it happens. Like you can't believe how things come together. But obviously, a lot of the success, self-made millionaires, they tell you, "I made this happen," and they don't realize that it's Allah who wrote that this happens, and things just were facilitated, and it seems to them as though they were, you know, bringing things together. But when Allah wants something to happen, Allah, subhanAllah, the way Allah treated Nuh alayhi salam is that the rain was coming from above and even was springing from the earth. So there was no place on earth for anyone to survive but on the ark of Nuh alayhi salam. Okay, let's move on now to we said we're going to talk about وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرٍ. We promised last week to talk about this. So it's important. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا. Yassara. Okay. And again, yassara from yasar in the Arabic language, yassara, which means something to come smooth, effortless. Thumma sabila yassara. Okay. Similar to English. Easy, smooth. Walaqad yassarna. Allah says we've made the Quran what? Easy, accessible, smooth. Walaqad yassarna al-Qur'ana lidhikr. Al-dhikr, remembering. Well, many times we mentioned, what do you remember? What is al-dhikr? Al-dhikr is you recover your fitrah state, your natural inclination to love Allah, obey Allah, worship Allah, seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with this comes wisdom and enlightenment. So, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ. We have made the Qur'an easy for what? For again, recovering, for optimizing your iman, right? فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرٍ. So who is there to be مُدَّكِرٍ? What's مُدَّكِرٍ? It's from ذِكْر, from تَذَكُّر. Who is seeking to come back to Allah? Who is sincere? And this is why the key to the Qur'an is sincerity. There are people who seek the Qur'an for status. There are people who seek the Qur'an for status. Some people want to become hafiz, right? So they can be called, oh, Hafiz Fulan and Fulan, right? Hafiz Fulan and Fulan, Al-Qari' Fulan and Fulan. So when there is like a ceremony, they reserve one of the first seats for them. Right? And they bring them, yarhamukallah, to graduation ceremonies, etc. And they introduce them as Al-Qari' so-and-so, Fulan and Fulan. Some people seek the Qur'an to gain this status. فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرٍ. This is not a مُدَّكِر. So the Qur'an is not going to be easy for them. And I forgot the mufassir who said, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ. Inshallah, probably will come back to mind, but the statement, his statement, he said, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرٍ. فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرٍ. Who is there to remember and to benefit? They say there are many people, the scholar said, many people memorize the Qur'an, but they are blocked from the Qur'an. And again, don't take this as a discouragement of memorizing the Qur'an. Not at all. Memorizing the Qur'an is always the first step. It's always the first step. But we are saying don't seek it for the wrong intentions, and don't stop there. Many people say, okay, I've secured like my religious accolades, I've got my religious titles, now let me succeed in the dunya, so I become successful in deen and in dunya, and like I get double praise. Some people think in this way. Some people think life is just about achieving all of these things in the eyes of people. In the eyes of people. Why? Allah is not even on the radar for them. So the scholar says, people sometimes memorize the Quran, if not mistaken, might be Ibn al-Jawzi. Memorize the Quran, but they are blocked from the Quran, from proper understanding of it and acting on it, living by it. مِنْ فَهْمِهِ وَالْعَمَلِ بِهِ. They are blocked from this. So he says, these people are not from the people of the Quran. And they are denied access, real access to the Quran. They are not مُدَّكِر. And that's very dangerous. You should take it seriously. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْ. So the Quran is made easy. The Quran is, you learn the words, you learn the meanings, and then you learn al-hadi, which is the life that the Quran gives. The lifestyle that the Quran gives. If you don't get these three, your journey or your relationship with the Quran is deficient. It's deficient. Okay, so this is, so once you change the reason, which is the intention, the purpose you're trying to get from learning the Quran, if it becomes more for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran will start to become easy for you. Doors will start to open, language will start to become easier, meanings will start to jump, teachers will start to come your way, books, you'll come across the right books. All of a sudden things make more sense. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرٍ. Allah says, and we didn't come to this yet. Surah Qaf, Allah says, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَذِكْرًا. ذِكْرَ, reminder, an awakening, and lessons. لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ أَوْ أَلْقَى السَّمْعَ وَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. Ibn al-Qayyim, at the beginning of his book, Al-Fawaid, he speaks for maybe at length about this, just this, what it means. There is a dhikra, there is a reminder, an awakening that really pays off. To who? لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ. For the one who has a heart. That means their heart is alive, it's not dead. لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ. أَوْ أَلْقَى السَّمْعَ وَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. أَوْ, here he says, it doesn't mean or. Okay? And they, أَلْقَى السَّمْعَ وَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. They paid full attention, submissively. They brought their full presence to the Qur'an, absorbing it, allowing the Qur'an to shape them, to fill them up. So there's a way to read the Qur'an. There's a way to read the Qur'an. It's not just any random way. It's not just counting pages. It's not just reading it for the sake of whatever, I don't know, count, or for the sake of getting recognized. This is actually something that is very dangerous. Quran, any good deed, we know that it has to be done with the right intention and the right manners. The same with the Quran. Same with the Quran. And the Prophet ﷺ, there's a hadith from the Prophet ﷺ, إِذَا ابْتُغِيَتِ الدُّنْيَا بِعَمَلِ الْآخِرَةِ فَانْتَظَرِ السَّاعَةِ, about the signs of the hour. That if you see people seeking the dunya through matters that are designed for the akhirah, then expect the hour to arrive. يوم القيامة. Matters that are designed to make, help you get to Jannah, people will start to seek them and pursue them for what? For their worldly benefit. Just like the titles or whatever. So it's a very serious matter. Now we move on to the story of Ad. Which is verse number 18 through 22. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم كذبت عاد فكيف كان عذابي ونذر إنا أرسلنا عليهم ريحا صرصرا في يوم نحس مستمر تنزع الناس كأنهم أعجاز نخل منقعر فكيف كان عذابي ونذر ولقد يسرنا القرآن للذكر فهل من مدكر. وعاد هي القبيلة المعروفة باليمن. أرسل الله إليهم هودا عليه السلام يدعوهم إلى توحيد الله وعبادته فكذبوه فأرسل الله عليهم ريحا صرصرا أي شديدة جدا في يوم نحس أي شديد العذاب والشقاء عليهم مستمر
عليهم سبع ليال وثمانية أيام حسومة تنزع الناس من شدتها فترفعهم إلى جو السماء ثم تدفعهم بالأرض فتهلكهم فيصبحون كأنهم أعجاز نخل منقعر أي كأن جثثهم بعد هلاكهم مثل جذوع النخل الخاوي الذي أصابته الريح فسقط على الأرض فما أهون الخلق على الله إذا عصوا أمره فكيف كان عذابي ونذر كان والله العذاب الأليم والنذارة التي ما أبقت لأحد عليهم حجة ما أبقت لأحد عليه حجة ولقد يسرنا القرآن للذكر فهل من مدكر كرر تعالى ذلك رحمة بعباده وعناية بهم حيث دعاهم إلى ما يصلح دنياهم وأخراهم.
Aad were a well-known tribe in Yemen to whom Allah sent Hud alayhi salam to call them to affirm his oneness and worship him alone. But they rejected him. So Allah sent against them a furious cold wind, that is, a very powerful wind, on an unremittingly inauspicious day, that is, a day that brought severe punishment and misery upon them. Unremittingly, the punishment lasted for 7 consecutive nights and 8 consecutive days, which swept the people away, because it was so strong and fierce. It lifted them up to the sky, then hurled them down to the earth and destroyed them. Thus they became as if they were trunks of uprooted palm trees, that is, as if their bodies, after their destruction, were like the hollow trunks of palm trees that had been struck by the wind and fallen to the ground. How worthless people are to Allah if they disobey His commands. Then how were my punishment and my warnings? By Allah, it was a painful punishment, and the warnings left no excuse for anyone. We have indeed made the Qur'an easy to understand and remember. Is there any then who will pay heed? Allah repeats this phrase out of His mercy and care for His slaves, as He calls them to that which is in their best interest in this world and the hereafter.
Okay, so Ad, قوم Ad. So the Arab people that were mentioned in the Qur'an, who received messengers other than Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was Ad and were Ad and Thamud. The other nations were non-Arab. So these are the only Arab tribes. So Ad are Arabs and Thamud are Arabs. Ad, where were they located?
Yemen.
Yes. Yes, and between the area between Yemen and Oman now is where they lived. It was called Al-Ahqaf. And I think until now it's called Al-Ahqaf. It's now more in the borders of Yemen, but some of it is still actually in the borders of Oman. Okay, so that's Al-Ahqaf, where Ad were. And Ad were known for their, again, like great size. They were huge, like their size. They were tall, they were big, giants. And probably that's part of the what the Prophet ﷺ mentioned about the creation of humans. خلق الله آدم 60 ذراعا في السماء. Allah, when Allah created Adam, Adam was 60 cubits. You're talking about roughly 40 meters in height. Adam alayhi salam. How many feet would that be? Twenty feet. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So imagine, we're talking about now. If someone is 6'8", now we say tall, right? What about those 20? Okay. So these are the people of Ad, and they were technologically they were very advanced. So they build humongous buildings, palaces. They build water reservoirs, right? وَتَتَّخِذُونَ مَصَانِعَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَخْلُدُونَ. They created water reservoirs because they thought, and again, they had a lifestyle in terms of, by the way, nutrition and diet that they thought would make them last forever, would help them beat death. Some of the Fassirin mentioned this, that they had a lifestyle. They created a very pleasant and easy lifestyle that they thought, you know, there would be no wear and tear on them over time, and this would help them reach or live forever and beat death. many things haven't changed much, right? Now there is a science of longevity, and they're talking about being young beyond 100. A lot of you're going to see a lot of titles and people trying to sell you something. Live beyond 100. Live to your 120, right? And things like that. Yeah, humans haven't changed. So they had these technology, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to them Hud. And the same response. That was the same response. And Allah says, إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ رِيحًا صَرْصَرًا. So Allah destroyed them with wind. صَرْصَرًا, it's destructive. تَنْزِعُنْ فِي يَوْمِ نَحْسٍ مُسْتَمِرٍ. نَحْس. نَحْس, how do Arabs use نَحْس today? Huh? Bad luck. Bad luck, yes. Which is correct. It's correct. But nahs in the Arabic language means... nahs means smoke. Smoke. So in Surah Al-Rahman, يُرْسَلُ عَلَيْكُمْ أَشْوَاضٌ مِّن نَارٍ وَنُحَاسٍ. Right? فَلَا تَنْتَصِرَانٍ. When Allah challenged humans and jinn to break through the boundaries of the seven heavens and the seven earths, Allah said, يُرْسَلُ عَلَيْكُمْ أَشْوَاضٌ مِّن نَارٍ وَنُحَاسٍ فَلَا تَنْتَصِرَ النَّارِ. There would be, again, the sort of boulders of fire and nuhas. What is nuhas here? Two interpretations from the scholars of tafsir. Either copper, which is copper, the metal, or nuhas is dukhan, smoke, fireless smoke. Is nuhas or nahs. Dust, when it's blown by the wind, it's called nahs. It's called nahs. Nafadan or nafadan nahsu or habban nahsu. Like wind that has either dirt and dust, heavy dust in it, or it has smoke. This is nahs. Okay, this is called nahs in the Arabic language. And the meaning was carried over to bad things. To bad things like bad, yes, bad luck, bad omen as well, nahs. Right? And they say nuhas, the metal, which is copper, the reason it was called this is because, look at nahs, ghubar, it spreads around. It's basically, it's a very, they say, طيب. شيء فيه شدة ينتشر في رخاوة. Okay, so something that is hard or harmful, okay, but it spreads in something that is soft and thin. And that's again what happens with smoke and dust as they are blown by the wind. They spread. And they are harmful. They're not pleasant. They're not good. And I think that's why they call, if I remember correctly, the reason they called copper nuhas is that it has a specific vibration when you bang it or when you knock on it, and it spreads for long distances. So they say it's that kind of spreading. That's why they called it nuhas. Again, these are linguists trying to trace back exactly where the words come from. But nahs, yes. Nahs basically means misery here. Misery, pain, and agony. And it also, some of the mufassirin, they said it actually means bad luck or evil luck here. So, في يوم نحس مستمر تنزع الناس كأنهم أعجاز نخل منقعر. منقعر, again, either means hollow, to empty something from inside, in qa'ara, because in qa'ara is to cave in. Cave in is in qa'ara, that's the verb. But it also means, when you apply it to tree trunk, it means log. When you chop off the top, the roots and the top of a tree, it becomes a log. That's munqa'ir as well. That's also called munqa'ir. Why? Because some of the Mufassiri mentioned that the winds chopped off their heads. So their heads were blown by the wind and their bodies remained like a log. So that was a description of their punishment that they received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. A benefit about Al-Qamar. Do you think Al-Qamar has a root?
Qamar, Surah Al-Qamar, right? We're dealing with Surah Al-Qamar. You think Qamar has a root? So the Arabs say قمرت الناقة. They apply the word قمر as a verb to the camel, she camel. And it applies as well to other like animals. And the Arabs, by the way, until today, they use the root in some other things. قمرة. Taqmir, farmers, peasants know that very well. Taqmir, qammara. Anyone from Egypt or Sham here? Taqmir, taqmir, qammar. You know the okra? Okra, is it okra? Bamya? Okra? It doesn't have a good taste in English. In Arabic, it has more taste. When it grows, you need to bring the dirt around it and cover it. And you have to do that consistently. It's called taqmir. Until today, peasants, like for example, Palestine, Jordan, and I think Syria as well, they use it. Taqmir. Taqmir. So for those, the Arabs, taqmir al-bamiya. It's very well known. What does this tell you? And قمرت الناقة, yes. Yes, to increase something in size by bringing it together. To increase something in size by bringing it together. So the reason the Arabs called the Qamar, Qamar, and the, by the way, the Arabs only call it Qamar up until the 25th night. From the 5th to the 25th in the month, they call it Qamar. Before that and after that, they don't call it Qamar. They call it Hilal. Why? Because the moon starts to grow, right? And become more sort of, have a mass, seemingly have a mass or volume, right? From 5 to 25. It's very observed, quite clear. But then eventually it is too small at the beginning and at the end. So they call it Hilal. Okay? So that's the reason why they call it Qamar. Okay? So Qamar, Qamara. And Naqa, Qamarat al Naqatu, it's when the she camel, when it eats so much and it becomes fat and it grows in size, becomes very like chubby. Here they call it as well Qamarat al Naqatu. Like it became very full. It became very, very full. And it grew in size. So that just to connect the word al-qamar, right? Now, there's many words I think that are used with qamar that I haven't been able to make the connection with, but that's what I can recall. Let's move on. I think we have time to deal quickly with Thamud. Yeah, let's read it. قال أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم كذبت ثمود بالنذر فقالوا أبشرا منا واحدا نتبعه إنا إذا لفي ضلال وسعر ألقي الذكر عليه من بيننا بل هو كذاب أشر سيعلمون غدا من الكذاب الأشر إنا مرسل الناقة فتنة لهم فارتقبهم واصطبر ونبئهم أن الماء قسمة بينهم كل شرب محتضر فنادوا صاحبهم فتعاطى فعقر فكيف كان عذابي ونذر ولقد إنا أرسلنا عليهم صيحة واحدة فكانوا كهشيم المحتضر ولقد يسرنا القرآن للذكر فهل من مدكر أي كذبت ثمود وهم القبيلة المعروفة المشهورة في أرض الحجر نبيهم صالحا عليه السلام حين دعاهم إلى عبادة الله وحده لا شريك له وأنذرهم العقاب إنهم خالفوه فكذبوه واستكبروا عليه وقالوا كبرا وتيها أبشرا منا واحدا نتبعه أي كيف نتبع بشرا لا ملكا لا ملكا منا لا من غيرنا ممن هو أكبر عند الناس منا ومع ذلك فهو شخص واحد إنا إذن أي إذا اتبعناه وهو بهذه الحال لفي ضلال وسعر أي إنا لضالون أشقياء وهذا الكلام من ضلالهم وشقائهم فإنهم أنفوا أن يتبعوا رسولا من البشر ولم يأنفوا أن يكونوا عابدين للشجر والحجر والصور ألقي الذكر عليه من بيننا أي كيف يخصه الله من بيننا وينزل عليه الذكر فأي مزية خصه من بين فأي مزية خصه من بيننا؟ وهذا اعتراض من المكذبين على الله لم يزالوا يدلون به ويصولون ويجولون ويردون به دعوة الرسل. وقد أجاب الله عن هذه الشبهة بقول الرسل لأممهم قالت رسلهم إن نحن إلا بشر مثلكم ولكن الله يمن على من يشاء من عباده. فالرسل من الله عليهم من الله عليهم بصفات وأخلاق وكمالات بها صلحوا لرسالات ربهم والاختصاص بوحيه ومن رحمته وحكمته أن كانوا من البشر، فلو كانوا من الملائكة لم يمكن البشر أن يتلقوا عنهم، ولو جعلهم من الملائكة لعاجل الله المكذبين لهم بالعقاب العاجل. والمقصود بهذا الكلام الصادر من ثمود لنبيهم صالح وتكذيبه، ولهذا حكموا عليه بهذا الحكم الجائر فقالوا بل هو كذاب أشر أي كثير الكذب والشر، فقبحهم الله ما أسفه أحلامهم وأظلمهم وأشدهم مقابلة للصادقين الناصحين بالخطاب الشنيع. لا جرم عاقبهم الله حين اشتد طغيانهم، فأرسل الله الناقة التي هي من أكبر النعم عليهم آية من آيات الله ونعمة يحتلبون من ضرعها ما يكفيهم أجمعين، فتنة لهم أي اختبارا منه لهم وامتحانا، فارتقبهم واصطبر أي اصبر على دعوتك إياهم وارتقب ما يحل بهم أو ارتقب هل يؤمنون أو يكفرون. ونبئهم أن الماء قسمة بينهم أي أخبرهم أن الماء أي موردهم الذي يستعذبونهم قسمة بينهم وبين الناقة، لها شرب ولهم شرب يوم آخر معلوم، كل شرب محتضر أي يحضره من كان قسمته ويحضر على من ليس بقسمة له. فنادوا صاحبهم الذي باشر عقرها الذي هو أشقى القبيلة فتعاطى أي انقاد لما أمروه به من عقرها فعقر، فكيف كان عذابي ونذر؟ كان أشد عذاب، أرسل الله عليهم صيحة ورجفة أهلكتهم عن آخرهم، ونجى الله صالحا ومن آمن معه. ولقد يسرنا القرآن للذكر فهل من مدكر.
Thamud, who are the well-known tribe in the land of Al-Hijr, rejected the warnings of their prophet Salih alayhi salam when he called them to worship Allah alone with no partner or associate and warned them of the consequences if they disobeyed him. But they rejected his message and were arrogant towards him, and they said out of arrogance and insolence, "What are we to follow a single human from among ourselves? That is, how can we follow a human and not an angel, who is from among ourselves and not from among others, who are greater than us in people's view? Furthermore, he is just one man. Then, if we follow him in that case, we would surely have fallen into error and madness. That is, we will not be lost and doomed." These words stemmed from their misguidance and wretchedness, for they were reluctant to follow a human messenger, but they were not reluctant to worship trees, rocks, and images. Has the message been sent to him alone out of all of us? That is, how could Allah single him out from among us and send the message down to him? What makes him so special out of all of us? This is an objection on the part of the disbelievers to Allah, and they kept on presenting this argument and rejecting the call of the messengers on the basis thereof. Allah responded to this specious argument by means of what the messengers said to their nations. Their messengers said to them, "Indeed, we are but human beings like yourselves, but Allah bestows His favor upon whomever He wills of His slaves." Allah blessed the messengers by bestowing upon them sublime attributes and characteristics that made them fit to convey the message of their Lord and be chosen to receive His revelation. By His mercy and wisdom, they were human beings, for if they had been angels, humans would not have been able to learn from them. If Allah had caused them to be from among the angels, He would have hastened the punishment for those who disbelieved in them. The intention behind these words that Thamud said to their Prophet Salih was a rejection of him. Hence they judged him in an unfair manner and said, "Nay, he is an insolent liar. That is, he tells many lies and does a great deal of evil. May Allah curse them." How foolish and evil they were, and how badly they confronted the sincere people with insulting words. It is no wonder that Allah punished them when they went too far in transgression. Allah sent the she camel, which was one of the greatest blessings that He bestowed upon them, one of the signs of Allah. Her milk was sufficient for all of them, as a test for them, that is, as a trial for them. So watch them, O Salih, and be patient, that is, be patient in calling them. Watch and see what happens to them, and see whether they will believe or disbelieve. and tell them that the water is to be shared between them. Tell them that the water source from which they drink is to be shared between them and the she camel. She is to drink one day and they are to drink another day, according to a set schedule. Each will be allowed to drink in turn, that is, the one whose turn it may be go there, and the one whose turn it is not is to kept away. But they called their companion, who was the one who actually hamstrung the she-camel. He was the most wretched member of the tribe, and he seized the she-camel and hamstrung her, doing what they instructed him to do. Then, how were my punishment and my warnings? They were severe indeed. Allah sent against them a blast and an earthquake that destroyed them to the last man. But Allah saved Salih and those who believed with him. We have indeed made the Quran easy to understand and remember. Is there any then who will pay heed?
Okay, so this is the story of Prophet Salih alayhi salam, and he was sent to Thamud, and we said Thamud and Ad are the two Arab nations that were mentioned in the Quran who received messengers. Some scholars say they were the only Arabs, again after Ismail alayhi salam, who received messengers, Ad and Thamud. And then there was no messengership among the Arabs until Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sent. Okay, this is the opinion of many of the historians, Muslim historians. Same thing, Allah sent them this miracle, which is the she-camel. Again, some narrations, this is not 100% confirmed, but these are mentioned in some of the books of Tafsir, and I think they are taken from people of the scripture, that the she-camel came from a boulder or from a mountain made of rocks, right? But again, there's nothing 100% confirmed. These are some narrations, but we don't have them confirmed. But it was a miracle itself, and the milk that they got from it was enough for the whole tribe or the whole village or town. So that kind of ability to provide that kind of milk, again, that was a miracle. And probably, again, the creation of the she-camel, where it came from, it seems that there is something miraculous about this. But it's not about the signs. These people, they were just in disbelief. They were rejecting the revelation. So, yeah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. It's not a matter of them seeing a sign. No, they are rejecting the truth. فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يُكَذِّبُونَكَ وَلَكِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ يَجْحَدُونَ. They're not disbelieving you or doubting your truthfulness, but they are just rejecting Allah and His truth. That's the reality. This is what it boils down to. So these arguments on the surface, don't let them confuse you. Just like, again, what's happening, for example, in the UK, right? They say, oh, it's immigration, illegal immigrants, but the whole rhetoric is about what? Muslims, right? The whole rhetoric is about Muslims and mosques, and the attacks are on Muslims, etc., etc., etc. And apparently, alhamdulillah, the news is coming out as to who is instigating all of this for political reasons, right? Who's funding these guys? And again, you can't make any reason with them. How can you reason with them? There's no way to reason. There's no logic, literally no logic. There's no 1 + 1 = 2. So again, that's when someone is just, they believe in something, but they don't want to change it. They don't want to change it. And this is the case of the disbelievers. Okay, we can take one quick question. Or maybe two, but... okay, let me give it to the brother there, first time I see him. Yeah. Okay, this is another lecture. So the essence of worship is love. Okay, and this love necessitates hope and fear. And these are the triad of worship. Love, hope, and fear. And this is where obedience comes from. This breeds obedience. And the preoccupation of the heart. Everything in this dunya is not meant to be loved for itself. Okay, it's meant to be loved as a means to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Including things we love naturally, like our family, our kids, etc. But there's no obsession there. When there is obsession, we get into divine love. And we're giving divine love
which I mean the love that we are supposed to give to the divine, Allah, we start to give it to the creation. So we become obsessed with something. Our value depends on this thing. Yeah. So pretty much here we're bordering worship. Are we saying the person doesn't become Muslim? No, that's a completely different question. Yeah. So we have to leave it at that. It's time for Maghrib. Jazakum Allah khair. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. See you inshallah next Friday. We'll still meet at 7:30.